Well, our guest today is an author and international speaker who is widely known for her revelatory insight, understanding, and apostolic teachings on the scribal anointing, the 21st century revelation of the office of the prophetic scribe. She has published, contributed, or co-authored more than 25 books, including the book Apostolic Mentorship, Critical Tools to Help Artisans Identify Their God-Ordained Mentor. I'm speaking about Apostle Teresa Johnson. Apostle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it was certainly one of those God moments where I think 24 hours ago, I don't think this was even planned.
No, it wasn't. I was mindfully enjoying my vacation when, wow, this door opened for us to have the opportunity to share with Charisma Media.
Exactly. One of those pleasant God interruptions that leads to kingdom purposes being accomplished. And so, Teresa, you're from Atlanta, Georgia, and your ministry is based there. Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Okay, so my ministry is multifaceted. I'm best known probably for the School of the Scribe. And the School of the Scribe is an educational center where we help prophetic writers and scribes of all kinds understand their purpose and calling while also unveiling their identity. So our heart is on pulling people into their purpose in the hour in which we live through the ministry of prophetic writing, prophetic scribal administration, instruction, whatever they're working in that area, just helping them figure out who they are and why they're here. So that's one aspect of what we do. The second thing is that we have a ministry called the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center, and that's the place where we come together to know how to express ourselves in the right way in the Father. We're learning about the word, apostolic and prophetic ministry. We're doing discipleship. We're doing all of those things that the local church does, but we're reeling it in for the creative community, particularly with an emphasis on prophetic scribes. I believe that one of the tight-knit things we're seeing, especially as a result of what's happened with COVID, is that communities are getting closer and becoming more intimate. And that's what the Scribal Conservatory brings to the table for that population of people.
Well, I love what you're saying. And, you know, it's not an insignificant point that God is revealed first as a creator God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Genesis 1, you see he's not a distant God from his creation. In fact, he is reviewing, critiquing, and he doesn't stop what he's doing until he can look at it and say, it's good. And so I love that you are saying,
Absolutely. Listen,
there's an anointing for the creatives in the kingdom. And so talk to us a little bit more about the scribe anointing. You know, what is it? How does it function? Are we just talking about like writing books, or is it more than that?
It's more than that. In fact, we tend to focus on a lot of things outside of book writing because that's become the common when you think of the ministry of the scribe. But the ministry of the scribe is actually based on a scripture from Matthew 13:52. It says, "You must be a scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven, who is the master of his house, who brings out treasure, things new and old, and from ancient of days." So in the School of the Scribe, we focus primarily on being instructed in the kingdom and also being a master of your own house. So we take that as people, let's establish yourself in the word first. That's most important. You know who you are in Christ. You know that he is the ultimate expression of everything that you do. And then understanding what it looks like to be a scribe instructed. One of the ways we pull that in is, well, one of the ways I've pulled that in is I've learned to really study the Word of God. And the first time the phrase scribe instructed was ever used in relationship to scribes was in the book of Ezra, Ezra 7, verse 6. And that scripture says that Ezra was a scribe instructed in the kingdom of God. And so I began studying out who Ezra was, what he was sent to do, what his role was in the kingdom. And to just be real simple and to the point, I learned that Ezra's mandate when the people were exiled, when he brought them back into Jerusalem, one of the first things he did was he was like, "My people do not know their God. They've forgotten everything." They don't know his statutes. They don't know what he wants from them. And so he found it a mission in his heart to make sure people were instructed in the way of God again after being lost to Babylon and the ways of Babylon. So when we look at the scribe, one of the primary functions of the scribe in this scripture was to restore people to the heart of God, the word of God, even more so than writing, more so than administration, more so than instruction, was aligning the body. And it's helping people see that the scribe runs through absolutely every single thing, because what the scribe brings through to the table, for example, the first time we see the scribe inducted in ministry is in Numbers 11. And in Numbers 11, you see Moses organizing the congregation. And what we don't realize sometimes is that those 70 consisted of elders, priests, and scribes. And so in the establishment of the church, there's always that component of administration, of organization, of authority, of preservation, meaning keeping the scriptures before the people, making sure the people know the laws of God, enacting justice among the people. All of those things were taking place in Numbers 11. And when we look at the progression of the scribe, because there's multiple dispensations of the scribe in the Bible, not just one. So it was not the scribes of Moses that we are today. We're a new generation. And that comes from Matthew 23:34, where Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you wise men, sages, and scribes." So we're after that order. And so we want to look at the history of the scribe, but we need to look at Jesus's intention. And that is for us to be instructed in the kingdom of heaven, that place where he is. So there are many different gifts of the scribe, and I'll just say it this way. When you go over the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, scribes were your event planners. They are the ones who organized the feasts. They were your treasurers. They were your copyists. They were your copywriters. They were your editors. They were your instructors. They were all of that before reading and writing was an everyday thing for us like it is today. They spoke multiple languages. They translated the scriptures. They were the highest commodity of slaves in the Bible. I mean, they were the most sought out. You know, Joseph was a scribe. And when they determined what Joseph's gifts were, oh, my God, he became governor, you know, based on his financial right. gifts, based on his writing gifts, right. based on his experience in commerce. So we have all of this history that sits on the scribe that we do every single
well, I
day.
Love it.
And
I love how you're capturing.
Together.
I mean, it's well, I you it. Just took us from Numbers to Ezra to New Testament. So I love it. And because, you know, when we're talking about a move of God, we want to be based in the Word. We want to know
mm-hmm.
that. And, of course, we see that mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit will sometimes bring things to light at a certain time. You know, it's that rhema word, the now move of God. In fact, before we went live, you were telling me mm-hmm. that you saw a dramatic increase of awareness right around, I think you said 2015. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, I had a divine encounter one night in 2000, and I woke up and I was just hearing the voice of the Lord. I didn't know anything about hearing God. I didn't know anything about angels or seeing in the spirit. So I was terrified. You can only imagine. And I was just saved, but I was writing like I was out of my mind. And I just couldn't. I just kept hearing and writing and writing. And this went on for several years, but I kept with it. I mean, I just loved it. So I kind of jumped in. But when you think about this kind of thing, you're thinking, I'm the only one out there doing this. There's got to be other people. And so I began connecting with other people in that process. But what blew me away was around, I guess, 2015, there were these prophecies that started coming out on the Elijah list. They were coming out in all of these other networks. People were seeing angels delivering scrolls. They were seeing pens fall from heaven. There were just all of these prophecies about the prophetic writer, all of these things. And they were coming out often and a lot. And it just caused my spirit to just jump because I was like, this means that this is the time for us. This means that the Spirit is opening this up over the congregation and over the church. And this moved me because during all of that time, from probably 2000 to around 2015, we had been studying, writing books, publishing, teaching writers about who they were. We were already doing this. But, you know, Jeff, I guess when you're doing something and it's kind of dead, to you it feels kind of dry because nobody else is talking about it on a wide spread. And then one day you hear it everywhere. It just does something to your soul and does something to your spirit that makes you come alive. And you realize I'm not crazy. This has not all been in my head. This is a move of God. The Lord is speaking. And I'm here and I've been doing this. So this may mean that what I have is a contribution that can add to what the Lord is doing in the earth. And Holy Spirit just began to carry it. And I'm meeting more and more writers. I'm having dreams. I'm having visitations. The Lord is speaking to me. I woke up crying. And I even had people saying to me, I've never written a day in my life. I hate reading. I hate writing. And they're saying, I'm waking up and I'm doing this and I don't understand. And what I realized was we had answers for their why. We had the information to help them discover this is why you're like this. This is what you're doing. There are sleepers that God awakens.
And this
in
is the role
times.
Of a pastor, mentor, you know, apostle. You know, I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul said, you know, we're not lording it over you, but we're workers, servants for your joy, workers for your joy. And so, you know, what I'm hearing from you is, you know, your ministry, you're laboring on behalf of the calling of God for the people of God who maybe they're having encounters or experiences, but they don't have the language, you know, they can't fully articulate this. And so, you know, this comes back to, you know, like identity and purpose. Talk to us about that, those key aspects for the scribal anointing.
Yes. Well, the main thing with the scribal anointing, and let me just give you a quick definition of the scribal anointing, of course, is based on Matthew 13:52. But the scribal anointing comes alongside you, and it says that the anointing of the scribe is on my life to accomplish this particular purpose or to accomplish this particular destiny in the earth. And so we look at it as Holy Spirit putting a burden on you to release some type of help to the church. And one thing I love to tell scribes, more than anything, we're the ministry of helps. We're the ones that come alongside apostles and prophets and help them administrate their ministries. We're the ones that come alongside the evangelists to help them order their steps. We're always in the background, and we have to accept that as a calling because we're the thread that brings the tapestry together. You see the beautiful finished tapestry, but you don't often pay attention to the thread unless one is broken or unless one is loosed. So when we look at this from that perspective, we can see that what we need is identity. And so the scribal anointing says, this is who you are. This is a legitimate ministry. This is a legitimate calling that's provable over a lot of things we might see taught, you know, among the body. This is provable by logos alone. You don't even need revelation to prove that the scribal anointing is a legitimate ministry because it's called a calling. You can see it functioning throughout the scripture, and you can see it increasing with every generation because it's propelled by technology. You know, technology is a clear sign that scribal ministry is changing. So media today didn't look like media in the time of Moses. The more media increases, the more the scribal anointing increases because we're the ones that provide the mechanisms for the word of God to enter all the realms of the earth.
So it's very interesting, just as you're saying this, that, you know, the Lord was speaking to you about this, you know, about 20 years ago. You really saw an uptick around 2015 with like an emphasis. And then COVID happened, and which has caused everyone to readjust and move, and we're all of a sudden we're communicating differently. Do you think the scribal anointing is a key that the Holy Spirit is trying to emphasize for the time that we're living in?
I know it is. In fact, Jeff, I did an entire podcast on that very topic on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I talked about
it's
why
Chamber of the Scribe.
The Chamber of the Scribe.
That's on the Charisma Podcast Network, Chamber of the Scribe. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. So okay. I think it's episode 2 or 3, but I talked about that, and I talked about how scribes are the technologists of the kingdom. We always look at the technologists as the kingdom as mechanical, but there is a supernatural side to technology. And one of the most profound things is because of COVID, we've been able to value the very thing we've overlooked in our generation as being an interruption, a frustration, a place of pulling us away from intimacy, to see it as the only way that enabled us to even stay together during this crisis. Could we have remained connected without the level of technology that we have? Scribes are the ones writing the code. They're the ones developing the apps. They're the ones building the infrastructure for the word and for the technology to continue. It's all scribal. And if to for clarity, and you want to see it in scripture, think of the work of the scribes in engraving and creating different types of materials to write on. Every dispensation and generation of scribe, they move from chiseling to digging out, to engraving, to figuring out how to make clay tablets, to developing ink, to using animal skin, to developing paper, to using wood. They always increase technology at every turn. Nothing has changed. What would happen if you and I didn't have the love that we had right now for technology and media and communication and writing and change? Where would we be? God prepares the scribe for its generation. We were built for this. We were made for this day. And it's so amazing because the whole arena of podcasts, streaming media, television, the things you can do with the backdrops, the editing, it's all a part of the good part of when it's used correctly of what the Lord is doing. Because I remember there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes and it says, of making many books will be endless. You know, and there are other scriptures that kind of speak into what's happening today if we look closely enough. And I see scribes everywhere, so no matter what scripture I'm listening to, it's going to turn
you
into
see it. Well, that's because the anointing and the mantle that's on your life. And, you know, you have this clearly defined calling that God's put on you. And it's almost like you can't help but to give expression to it and to bring that forth. You've recently wrote a book called Apostolic Mentorship, Critical Tools to Help Artisans Identify Their God-Ordained Mentor. I know I've heard the saying, you know, don't judge a book by the cover. I haven't even seen the cover, but just seeing the title, I want to read the book. What's going on with this? Because Apostolic Mentorship just sounds fresh. It sounds like there's fire on it. What's the deal?
Listen, that book is probably, at this point, my best-selling book. A lot of people are looking for mentors. And so in my own life, I felt like probably around 2012, I started feeling like I had reached a lid. Like there were, I don't know how far I can go with this. I was looking for people who understood my calling. They were like, what in the world is a scribe? And why do you think you're supposed to do this as a ministry? I was actually getting people that were saying those kinds of things to me. They were like, this couldn't possibly be God. I had that. I was like, didn't the scribes kill Jesus? You know, I mean, I was hearing everything and I was getting really discouraged. I had a great pastor, but, you know, he told me, he said, I can't help you with scribal stuff. It's just not, you know, and I can't. And he said, I believe there's a destiny for you in this, but I don't know how to take it further. And I am literally still working in the ministry. And I know many of you can understand this. And you're just frustrated with yourself. Your purposes seem frustrated. You don't know what your direction should be. And I was just crying out one night, and this was about 2014, the end of 2014. And I was like, God, I don't know what else to do because the seed has died into the ground with everything that I have done up to this point. And we know that scripture when it talks about the seed dying in the ground. It just means the vision for that is over. I mean, how many more open mics you can do, Teresa? I mean, how many more writing conferences can you have? And I was just stuck.
This is about 2012.
This was about 2012. And so by the time I get to 2014, I've reached the end of my rope.
Yeah.
And so I went to my pastor and he prayed with me. He said, I just agree with you that you're going to find someone who can help you. And in comes my mentor. I literally was scrolling the internet one night and I was like, God, I need some help. Because I was transitioning into my apostolic calling. My pastor had already blessed me into that, but he said, I'm not the one. He said, I'm not an apostle. I can't really help you.
Before we get to the punchline here, I just want to say praise God for your pastor to be able to have the honesty and the humility to say, listen, I see this on you.
Yes.
I just can't get you there.
Exactly.
Thank God for men and women of God
who do that.
So I just want to give honor where honor is
thank
due.
Thank you. Thank
before
you.
Before we get to the punchline here.
Yes, because literally one Sunday, my husband and my children, we were sitting in the audience, and he said, Teresa, get up. I need you to come up here. He brought me before the church, and he said, I have to release you. He said, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do is to let you go. But we can't help you anymore.
Yeah.
He said that to me. He said, you're doing more for us in some areas than we're able to help you. He said, I'll always be your father, but here we are.
Yeah.
And he released me in that moment. And I didn't even know I needed that.
Yeah.
But I felt it, if that makes any sense. I felt it all the way through me. And immediately after that, I find her, Dr. Kalani Spaken.
Who's here in the studio with you.
Who's here in the studio with me right now. And I'm here, and I'm like, oh, my God. Listen, I got to tell you this. Can I tell you a funny story real quick?
Please do.
So I was looking on the internet, and I was looking for a book. I was like, apostle, what is an apostle? What is this? Because everybody keeps calling me this. I don't want this, whatever it is. But this was 2014, and I found out I had already been walking in it for a while and didn't know. And so here I am, and I run across this book, and I see her name. And so I ordered the book, and I start looking, and then she was in Atlanta. I was like, the minute I said that I heard this, it's going to sound weird, in an audible voice, I heard the Lord say, this is your apostle.
Wow.
Just like that. And I started creeping around the internet, found her on social media, and began harassing her from that point forward. And she was like blowing me off. I'm like, I'm not giving up. I'm going to push until one day, about 3-4 months later, she finally had lunch with me. But by this time, I've bought her classes. I've gotten her books. I've just done everything I could to get her attention because I just knew. And when I met her for the first time, I knew. And I was like, God speaks to me this way and tells me this is my mentor. I even told her she was my mentor, and she didn't even agree to mentor me. But I knew.
Yeah, you knew by the
Spirit. I knew by the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit told me. And so basically this book is a result of what I have learned because so many people are looking for a mentor. They're looking for people to help and guide them in their ministries and in their calling. And the number one thing that I began that book with is talking about I needed help. And she recognized how to help me.
Beautiful.
And the second point that I wrote in that book is that I found a mentor that met me in mutuality, meaning an equal place of respect.
Beautiful.
And so I start the book from that point. And I teach the people who are reading, make sure your mentor has a heart for you. Because what was happening to me and my quest to find help, I was finding that people were eager to help me. But once they started helping me, because they didn't understand my calling, they were trying to make me a pastor in a traditional type way. They were trying to put me in the role of an apostle the way no harm intended. They weren't trying to be evil.
Of course.
It was just all that they knew.
Yeah.
but I knew it didn't fit. And so here I am with the mentor who's saying, well, let me learn about your ministry. This is what you do? Why don't you try this? I never had anyone say that to me. This is how I can help you versus how you can help me. So it was completely flipped, and I ended up in a friendship. Does that make sense? A friendship that is a mentoring relationship that doesn't press me down, but comes alongside me.
Not that they lord it over you.
Yes, exactly the scripture you said.
A worker for your joy.
Absolutely. That exact scripture that you shared earlier, Jeff. And that's what I found. And so that book talks about all of my mistakes. I really go through every mistake that I made as a mentee, what my expectations were misplaced with people, because if you have the wrong expectations, you'll be disappointed. And if you're expecting something from people that they cannot give you, you'll be disappointed. And I realized that I was angry and I was hurt, but I was hurt because of my own expectations. I was not facing the reality of what they could offer. And then on the flip side, as a mentor now, because I'm a mentor to others, I talk about how to receive a mentee without messing up who they're called to be. And I provide really good guidelines on how to walk that process out in that book. And I help those writers and poets and authors and really anybody. I've had business owners say, I need this book. So I probably need to go back at some point and change the title, because the subtitle really doesn't fit. But the last part I want to say about this is that mentorship should be an exchange. It should be a relational exchange, and you should have someone mentoring you that's willing to grab hold of your vision and not just want you to transform into a mini them. And so that is what that book is about, letting them know it's okay. It's okay to be who God has called you to be. It's okay to have different thoughts and different opinions. It's okay to say, I don't want to do this, and it be okay and not, you know, hit the door, Jack, you know. But it talks about how to honor one another. And that's honoring one another in giving. You know, that's an important part, but not with the angst that often comes with that. It's more about love. It's more about, because I love my mentor. She's not just a mentor. I love her. So we have to get to this point where it's relationship and not just a transaction.
It sounds like the kingdom of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's beautiful. you have an event coming up.
Yes.
Because we're getting towards the end of our episode today. The Scribal Advance.
Yes.
It's happening in Atlanta, October 27th through 30th. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. The Scribal Advance is our annual conference for prophetic scribes. And I just want to say, if you're wondering, do I need to come to this conference? Well, if you understand that a prophetic scribe is not just a writer, but way beyond that, an administrator, an instructor, you know, a copywriter. So we're doing all of these things to help bring scribes together, to help them learn their identity and their purpose. But a lot of the courses and things that you'll have at that conference, you will learn how to build your ministry from the ground up. You'll learn how to organize your finances and get them right from the bat. You have one stop that you come to. We have experts in that area all raised up in the School of the Scribe.
Beautiful.
And so we do, we have a Scribal Arts Symposium where you're going to learn how to use your scribal gifts if you're an artist for therapy. I worked in the sex trafficking arena for a long time, so I learned how to use my creative poetry and writing in that area. You're going to learn a lot of things that you can do in the regular world, not just in the church. So I just strongly encourage scribes who are looking for direction, instruction. And the highlight of our conference is that we're very personable. All of our teachers, all of our presenters are touchable. We talk to you, we eat lunch with you, we sit with you, we hang out. So you make lifelong friendships there. We have people that have been coming to our conferences for a decade, and they come back just to be with us and just to share the love and the support that the group has, because we're a family. And right now, we're the only conference exclusively doing this. This is all we do. You're not going to have other things going on in the conference. This conference is completely scribal from beginning to end. And we're talking about the new frontier. That's the focus, which is focusing on all the opportunities for pioneering in this hour. We're still pioneering. We haven't finished this. We're just at the beginning, Jeff.
Well, it's you've taken us on this journey of 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling you're right. Mm-hmm. I think, as you're talking, and I feel the prophetic anointing in the studio.
Yes.
It just seems like this is a flower that's just about just starting
it's
to
just starting to bloom
mm-hmm. and just starting to bud. And so what a joy to have you here with us. How can people connect with you best? Maybe there's I'm sure somebody's listening, say, I want to go to that conference. How do they connect with you, Apostle? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The number one way to get in touch with me is actually through Facebook. We have a Facebook group called Scribal Prophets, and I am always in it, fully engaged. All of our team is fully engaged. It's one of the largest groups on Facebook for prophetic writers. But all we do, prophetic writers and scribes, all we do is talk about and mentor people in that in their craft in that area. So it's facebook.com/groups/scribalprophets. But the thing is, just type in Scribal Prophets. We're the first one that pops up. Other than that, if you want to connect, I want to just encourage you to visit chamberofthescribe.net. That's our Charisma podcast page. But all the ways to connect with me is there. And you'll be able to figure out where you need to go, what you need to do. Even the conference information is there as well. And I just want to throw the conference link out there anyway, but it's scribaladvance.com if you're interested in the conference. But we're real easy to find. Literally, if you put the word prophetic scribe in, I'm in the top five of any search engine. No matter where it is, you'll find us. So we're here to make your life beautiful and to cause you to feel like it's okay to be who you are. And we love scribes, and we love our community. We're all nerds. We love books. We sniff ink pens. So I'm just throwing that out there. Our greatest adventure is an old beat-up bookstore on the corner. So if you want to connect with us, that's how you do it. And we have lots of fun, lots of fun.
Could we I feel this anointing in the studio. Could you just release a prophetic apostolic blessing over our listeners today?
Yes.
I just know there's people that are listening that they resonate. They feel like you're speaking a language. Even the words that you're speaking is like unlocking the door into their destiny and their calling. Could we end our podcast today by you just releasing that blessing over our listeners?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for every scribe who is listening. We thank you for every person who loves a scribe who is listening. We thank you, Father, that they are hearing the clarion call to embrace fully what you have placed on the inside of them. Father, we decree and declare the Matthew 13:52 scribal anointing upon them. Father, we also declare Ezekiel 9 over their lives as you summon the commanders of the city. Father, we thank you for every gift, every calling, every talent that you have placed in their hand for this generation in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are calling them, Father, to take a stand in their communities with this gifting, Lord, wherever they're called to serve. And we just ask that you bless them, let them know that this is the right time, that they are needed, that what you have given them is not by coincidence, but by a divine act in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray a blessing over them right now. We pray that you stir up this gifting, that you stir up this calling in their lives, Lord, that you interrupt their dream realm and cause them to know that you have appointed them for this time and in this season, wherever they are. We thank you for those that are writing, Father, in the writing realm, those that are operating in the dream realm and in the scribal realm. We just release, Father, the joy of the Lord over it, that they will enjoy what they do, that it will not be a chore, but a blessing. In Jesus' name.
Come on, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Apostle Teresa Johnson with the Chamber of the Scribe podcast and Scribal Prophet Group. Wow, we're just so blessed.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank God that this all was divinely orchestrated. And we'd love to do it again sometime.
Would love that.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you as well.
You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to make sure to share the episode with friends and family. It's a great way to share encouraging news as well as spread the kingdom of God. And it's how the podcast grows as more listeners find value and find encouragement in the content that we are providing. I pray today's episode blessed you.